Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to this week's Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Rob Cashel, Conference Commissioner, and joined today by LC State Head Coach for Baseball, Jake Taylor, and outfielder, Nick Siemens. Guys, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
Well, it's finally here. We get to play some Cascade Conference baseball, starting up our league this weekend. And Jake, LC State has been picked number one to win the league. Talk a little bit about your preseason and heading into this weekend, starting conference play.
Well, we got going early down in Arizona, and then played pretty well down there against some of the best teams from the East Coast, and then had to go to California and sat in the hotel for a week while it was raining. So we've missed out on some games so far, but had some ups and downs like most teams have this early in the year, but hopefully start hitting our stride here pretty soon.
And we have a little bit of a unique first 3 weeks of, I guess maybe you could call it interleague play, for lack of another way to describe it, where the first 3 weeks of our conference schedule, you play conference teams, but they're non-conference activity. And we'll talk a little bit later in the program about how that'll change next year with the new team coming in. But you've already faced some of our league competition in non-league counters. So what have you seen so far?
Well, I mean, kind of like I've seen the last couple of years, our league just continues to improve the talent, the coaching, the facilities. I mean, we went down to College of Idaho and played against the Yotes down there. And Coach Humber is a great friend of mine. And I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. He's just fantastic. And obviously, UBC, what they bring. We were fortunate we played well that weekend. And then last weekend went over to Bushnell and what Tommy has going on, just an amazing facility. And they played really well against us. So from what I've seen so far, a lot of parity in the conference, and it just continues to improve. And so we're excited to get going this weekend.
And Nick, you're a senior this year, redshirt senior, play outfield for the Warriors. You're also a gold glove, so you kind of can do it all. You're a threat at the plate, and you're a threat defensively. Talk a little bit about this being your last year and kind of the feelings that you're going through.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been pretty surreal kind of traveling to like College of Idaho and Bushnell and stuff like that, and realizing that probably won't end up there anymore, but it's probably the last couple games that I'll be playing there. And it's definitely a different feeling, but I think with the group that we have this year, everybody's so close and everybody's really pulling in the same direction. And so I think once we get on the right track, it's going to be a really special final year.
Well, and you talk about the parity in the league and Jake, the league getting better and better each year. And Nick, I want to talk a little bit about your journey to LC State. You were at a different college for 1 year prior to coming to LC. Did you know about the rich history that you were walking into?
Actually, no. So when Coach Taylor called me, I really didn't have a very good idea of what LC was and how amazing this place is. But as soon as I got here and just kind of got almost like enveloped into the culture, like it's the environment that they welcome you with and the mentality that the team shares, it's really easy to jump into when that's what you want to do too. So coming here is definitely the best decision I've made so far. And I think having the honor of being able to carry on the Warrior tradition is pretty special.
Yeah, and that tradition, what a tradition it is. Jake, you were a member of the 1992 championship team. You know, on our website, LC hasn't always been in our league, and it would be really easy for us to claim all those victories that you guys had as kind of our conference victories, if you will. But you've had 11 championships over that span, and you've hosted the World Series for gosh knows how many years, and just really, I would say, the pillar of NAIA baseball. Talk a little bit about that history and how you communicate that history when you're out recruiting.
Sure. Well, when we, I was kind of like Nick growing up over in Portland over there, played at Mount Hood, and long before internet or anything, I just heard stories of LC and came up on a recruiting trip, first time I'd ever been to Idaho, ended up obviously falling in love with it, and had a lot of success before I got here. They won five. I think ours was the sixth in a row, or just something crazy. But similar to what Nick said, you just kind of, it's the way we do things, and you just jump right in because there's no other way. But being able to come back here and be the head coach for the last 6 years, it's something obviously that we talk about a lot. I mean, we want to honor our team, and each year is a different chapter in the history of Lewis Clark State baseball. But we definitely talk about the guys who laid the foundation and did the framework before these young men got here. So we like to honor them as well. But it's a fantastic program, obviously, and it's a national brand, and we just want to try to uphold the standards as best we can.
Well, and last year, I would say everyone was a little bit shocked, a little bit of a down year in terms of your conference finished fourth in the league with a 14-10 record, which I think, again, speaks to the growth of the sport in our league and how every ship has risen, so to speak, to kind of catch LC. But then you went on an unbelievable run in postseason and got to the national championship game. Nick, what was that run like for you and the team?
It was super special. I think the best part of it was just everybody being on the same page and everybody working together and really coming through in big moments. And it wasn't one guy the entire time. We really spread it across the board, and it was whoever's turn it is, that's whose turn it is to have success. Everybody was pulling for everybody. And so it was pretty incredible to kind of come together with the guys, and we know what we're capable of. And so now it's working back to get to that standard and stay there consistently.
What's that like playing in front of the home crowd in Harris Field on championship night? Can you explain that at all, or do you just have to go through it?
So I'm lucky enough to have played in that game twice. The first time was against Southeastern, and I will say that it was definitely a little bit, not necessarily overwhelming, but it was definitely a lot. Like, it's a lot of stimulation. You have a lot going on, and it takes a lot of focus to be able to go pitch to pitch and trying to slow the game down. Definitely having been there before and having gone through it and stuff, I feel like really helped me last year. I was able to slow the game down a lot easier and a lot sooner. And I think that helped me have a lot of success and helped me help the team. So it's a fun and fun experience and something you'll never forget for sure.
Jake, I don't know that LC could ever be kind of pigeonholed into one style of play. You guys can play small ball. You've had bombers in the past. You've had great pitching that just neutralizes the other team. Is there a secret to kind of how you recruit, or are you just looking for ball players that can do a number of different things?
Yeah, and each year is obviously different, and the bulk of our team this year is returning from last year, but we added some really nice pieces. But kind of like you said, Rob, I mean, we look for the best players, and sometimes they might be ultra fast, or sometimes we just happen to land a couple of arms that are a little bit better than what we've had. We have been fortunate since my time here that we have some guys with some power, and man, that's obviously kind of the way the game's going, power arms, power bats. But like we talk to all of our players about, I mean, sometimes you have to win a game 15-14 like we did against Hope last year, and sometimes you have to try to win it 1-0. And so however the game presents itself, but I think the best teams can acclimate and adjust and adapt and try to win however that game does appear to you in front of you. So it's easy when you go out and you hit four or five bombs and everything's working. But obviously we know it's baseball and that doesn't always happen. So we try to practice to win a one-run game, whether that's a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game.
Yeah, that definitely, you never know what you're going to get in our league. I've seen some really high scores, and like you said, you've had the dominant pitchers. Speaking of dominant pitchers, there's a pitcher up at BC, Sean Hepner, who just I think broke our conference record with 16 strikeouts. And Nick, talk about facing some of those real dominant pitchers in our league.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just from my first year couple years ago playing in the CCC until now, the arms have just like grown leaps and bounds. It's the competition you're facing on the mound is much more competitive, and like facing some of the guys at UBC, they have a bunch of pretty good arms up there. It's always fun, it's always a challenge, and it really makes you bring your best and bring your best focus and energy and effort.
And Jake, how do you, how do you scout arms like that? You know, what's your game plan in the scouting report that you try to give the guys?
Well, we turn the machines up really fast for the entire week prior to. I mean, we're our fastball machine, we're getting ready to face BC, is sitting between 90 and 94. Hard sliders, you know, whatever. I mean, realistically, I think we had success against him the first time because we held the zone pretty well. When they get ahead of you, they're extremely difficult. They make you chase a slider away or a fastball up, but I felt that we made them come to the zone, and that was just last week. So next time we play them, it might be different, but guys can really pitch and make a decision in a hurry, and we can push our fastball down and lay off the breaking ball. Then at some point they got to come across the plate. So, but they got three or four guys that are really, really good.
Hey, Nick, in addition to playing at home at Harris Field, which obviously is got to be your favorite, is there a park in our league that you kind of get a little extra amped to go to and play?
I would honestly say hitting at Bushnell. Where we were this past weekend, and like, granted, games weren't necessarily executed the way we want to execute them, but definitely hitting in that park, I always feel like I can have power to all fields and really use the whole field and have success.
Yeah, and they have a beautiful park, and Corbin now is going to be at the Volcano Stadium, which just got turfed for the first time. College of Idaho continuing to improve their facility. I think Oregon Tech is looking at turfing. UBC is a turf, beautiful facility up there as well. So Jake, how important is that? How important has that been for our league to have such good facilities?
Yeah, I think facilities are a big deal. I mean, I really do. And obviously the programs that continue to enhance and push forward and just continue to upgrade. I mean, that's the way everything's going. I mean, but just like you said, I mean, our league has great venues all across the board, even, you know, all of them. And so we just try to keep improving our place too. And so we have four or five big projects that we're looking to do and complete in the next month or so. And then that just continue to upgrade that as well. But I think facilities are huge. I mean, it kind of speaks volumes to the type of program you have and the commitment the school has and the community has to the not only baseball, but the athletic programs.
Yeah, for sure. And turf, certainly in our area, your area is a little bit milder and you're able to play on a natural surface. In some of our other areas, turf has been really important. Eastern Oregon, as an example, having the turf infield, and they're talking about possibly a new turf field on campus as well. Transitioning, Jake, we're bringing a new program into the league. Warner Pacific will be adding baseball into next year, which I know we're all really excited about in terms of continuing to grow baseball out west. We don't have a lot of NAI baseball out west anymore. So talk a little bit about the addition of that and what that means for our league.
I think, just like you said, I think just the growing of baseball. I talked to the Antelope Valley coach just yesterday, just a sad deal down there. With their entire, not only program, but it sounds like their school is closing up too. But to be able to add another quality opponent to our league is fantastic. It'll help with scheduling. It'll help with total number of games. And then obviously just growing the sport in the Northwest. When I was playing back in the early 90s, all the teams on the West Coast seemed to be NAI. And then they've kind of gone to different divisions for a variety of reasons. But we're kind of out here. It's kind of on an island, so to speak. So it's nice to have another Cascade team.
Yeah, and as we've talked, sometimes, you know, in particular your program, you've been so good. Sometimes the D2 teams won't play you because they don't want to get beat. Or a team will play you, but you got to go to them. They're not going to come to Harris Field, which makes
Correct.
It difficult.
Correct, yeah. It's extremely difficult. It seems like I was talking with Chris Pritchard about that the other day, and Coach Monlux at Bellevue, I think what people don't realize is the amount of travel that we have to do in this league. And that takes a toll on not only an older coach, but it takes a toll on the younger players too. I mean, the 8-hour bus rides, 10-hour bus rides, I mean, it's pretty tough to fall off the bus and put your shoes on and get ready to go. So where I know that's just something that we have to do in this conference, and some of the teams back east, I've heard that some of them never have to stay a night in the hotel, which is crazy. But I think being on the road, too, brings the team together. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and let's continue to do it.
Well, and our outdoor spring coaches are so adaptable. We had a, you know, we had a heck of a championship last year where we were dealing with snow and rain and all kinds of stuff, and just the adaptability of outdoor coaches. You've got to look out your window every day and deal with what Mother Nature's throwing at you.
Yeah, it's something, but yeah, I think, you know, just we were talking with Chris and Jacob the other day about how sometimes the teams in the Northwest here may not get off to a fantastic start. We haven't been outside yet. And so when we went down to Arizona down there, I think that was about our second day outside all year. So, and those teams have been out for months. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but we'll catch stride.
Yep. Nick, talk a little bit about off of the field. What's your graduate program in? What are you going to graduate in this year? And what's next for you after LC baseball?
So I'm graduating in kinesiology, health, and fitness. I am hoping to obviously continue playing baseball, but should I not, I'm probably going to go and end up coaching either privately or go and get a master's degree and hope to coach at a school somewhere.
He's going to be a great coach.
So many of our student athletes, after they've been involved, are headed to the coaching ranks. And I tell them all the same things. We need good coaches out there to take over when guys like JK hang it up. And so keep after it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So Jake, you've sent a lot of, LC has sent a lot of players to the pros. Can you help me understand, because I'm not sure, you know, how does that really happen? What's your involvement in, from the coach's perspective? And we'll use Nick as an example. He said he wants to continue playing. You know, what's the next steps for him in order for him to do that?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it obviously is talking with scouts or scouts in the area a lot. They'll come see us, they'll see Washington State, go up to Gonzaga so they can hit all three of them in a weekend. Yeah, this program has been extremely fortunate. It's been more difficult than NAIA baseball the last couple of years since the COVID has lowered the draft numbers, the rounds, everything. And so, I mean, that's making it more difficult, but there's still plenty of avenues for players to play independent ball, play pro ball. We have 10, 12 guys just over the course of the last couple of years that are still playing. So I would really like to think that Nick's going to have a chance to continue to play if that's something he wants to pursue.
And Nick, do you want to play somewhere in the Northwest to start with, or are you open to going anywhere to play anywhere?
Definitely hoping to go wherever I'm wanted. So, yeah, just looking for an opportunity for sure.
Jake, tell me a little bit about, obviously, going back to the start of our league, you guys are picked number one, BC is picked number two. We have, the gap is closing between all of our teams. And what do you expect? Is there a dark horse in that poll that you saw, especially after going out and seeing everybody a little bit?
Yeah, we haven't seen all the teams yet, obviously. We only saw three of them. But, you know, going in, who returns people from last year, looking on Twitter, see who they've signed. We always check out their rosters and do some research on guys and stuff. I think with the coaching in this league, the facilities like we talked about, I don't know if there's a dark horse, but I do know that you have to be ready to play every weekend. We saw that last week. We got whacked. I mean, bottom line, they were ready to play and we weren't. And one thing led to another and it kept rolling for them. So we got on the bus and came home. Just kind of back to work tomorrow. So, it is what it is. And so I think it's the exciting part is I would much rather play quality competition week in, week out. Cause that gets you ready for the end. I mean, it gets you ready for the Cascade Conference tournament, but hopefully after that, for obviously us and other teams getting an invite to that next round and then hopefully ultimately making it to the World Series. That's the only way you can really do it. You can prepare through practice and then you have to put it together on the weekends and then review what happened and keep moving forward. I don't think it does really anybody any good to have a 2 to 3 week gap where you just beat up on some team that's the quality of competition isn't there. And sometimes you get a false sense of how, hey, we're pretty good. Well, our pitchers are missing location. Our hitters are getting away with stuff. They shouldn't. We can kick a couple balls defensively and the other team can't make you pay. They just don't have the players. But that's something that this league doesn't have. And I think that's just talking with Chris and Sean and Jacob and Tommy and others, it's just, the list just keeps going. We need to get out and play teams from the Midwest, play teams from the East, play teams from the South, and let them know what type of baseball is played in the Cascade Conference. Because I think a lot of them just figure it's us and then a couple others. And if we lose a game, it's like, oh, man, what happened? Well, I would guarantee our teams could go East and be just fine. And so I think that's the exciting part for me to see how it all unfolds. I mean, we can't control what other teams do. We just control ourselves. But we're going to prepare like every weekend is we're going to be in four different one-run games. And so and that's the way we like it, too. I mean, it's just it makes it that much more exciting.
Yeah, I really feel like our league is getting more respect nationally, maybe not where we want it to be, but I really truly believe there's always two, sometimes three, and on occasion might be a fourth team that really should be in that national conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, man. You look at some of the other sports in the league with their basketball and softball and others, I mean, it's a very well known league around the country for a variety of sports, and I think baseball is just knocking on the door there.
Nick, you've been an all-conference player, Gold Glove, academic all-conference. You've kind of done it all in baseball. Tell me a little bit about what's it like playing for Jake, and what's he like as a skipper to your guys' team?
He's great. We always know.
I told him to say that.
Yeah. We always know we're going to get the truth, and we always know that we're going to get the LC standard. And I think it's really easy to play for someone that you know where you stand about 99.100% of the time. So, yeah, it's easy when it's transparent. Absolutely.
And Jake, what's the best part for you about coaching at LC State?
Oh, I've coached for a long, long time, and it's the same thing that's great about here is the same thing that I've always felt. It's relationships. It's just being around the sport. I remember when I got done playing and I was kind of trying to figure out what my life went. I got my teaching degree and went into teaching and coaching, and I've never looked back. I mean, I'm 52 years old and I still get to put on a baseball uniform. I feel like I'm lucky. The players, I've coached my kids growing up. I coach my daughters in softball, and then obviously able to coach young men like Nick and all the others. But it's definitely relationships. It's around being around the game. I think the energy that the young people provide, it helps make me feel young still too. And so I love it. I just absolutely love it still.
And Nick, one last question for you. I was looking on your bio, and one of the awards you won internally at LC was the Comeback Player of the Year, which leads me to believe that you must have had an injury of some kind. Why did you win that award, and was it for an injury?
Kind of, yeah. It was some personal health stuff, and it was an interesting situation. But I, with the help of my teammates and the great staff here and a bunch of people around the community, I was able to get back to playing shape and able to do some pretty special stuff on the field. So,
well, congratulations to you, because that takes a lot of work and dedication to get back to playing form, and you should be really proud of winning that award.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining Cascade Connects. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Looking at the forecast, I think we're going to have some warm temperatures and maybe even some sunshine to start our opening weekend in Cascade Conference baseball.
Yep, looks like it. Looks good.
This has been Rob Cashel, Commissioner of Cascade Conference, and joined by Jake Taylor and Nick Siemens of LC State.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
On behalf of Director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.